We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. It's almost November, and we've had some chilly overnight temperatures already. Most of us are thinking about where our snowblowers are and the shovels. We aren't thinking about gardening. But gardening expert and Lake Effect contributor Melinda Myers says there are still things you can do, like composting. Myers is the author of several books on gardening, including month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin, and she joins us every month to talk. She tells Lake Effect's Joy Powers what we should and should not put in our compost bins.
So the things we want to compost, food scraps that are plant-based, no meat, no dairy, no bone, no fats, because that really brings in the rodents, and it's really not going to compost the same that plant-based material would be. Now, if you look out in your landscape, you want to avoid weeds that have gone to seed, because most of us don't compost hot enough to kill those weed seeds. So we make our compost and we plant weed seeds right back in. No invasive plants. Invasive plants, things like garlic, mustard, purple loosestrife, those things. The Department of Natural Resources allows you to put them in a clear plastic bag, label it invasive, and throw it in the garbage where it can be buried and won't cause a problem in the future. Perennial weeds like quack grass and knotweed and things like that, again, we often don't compost hot enough to kill them, and so they end up surviving when we put them back into our garden or however we're going to use that compost. A friend of mine who had a great sense of humor and was a wonderful composter said, with quack grass, burn it, spread the ashes on asphalt. He was joking, but when I share that at a talk, people look at me like, is she serious? No. But you do either need to make sure you're composting hot enough or find another way to get rid of those products.
When you say composting hot enough, what does that look like?
You know, that's a great question. So you can do casual composting. I call myself a casual composter. I throw it in a heap and wait and let it decompose. And I lived in the city for 26 years in a small city lot. And so I was very creative. I would do a lot of chic composting. What's that? Annual weeds that had not gone to seeds, no seeds or flowers, I'd use as mulch around my shrubs. I tread my leaves with my mower and use those on the soil around my perennials. And so I tried to reuse as much of my landscape trimmings as I could right in the landscape. But then what I couldn't, I'd throw in a heap and let it decompose. The more effort we put in, the faster the results, the hotter the pile will get, and the more likely it will destroy those weeds, insects, and diseases. So if we were going to compost, we'd put green materials, kitchen scraps, plant-based, fresh grass clippings, no weed killer applied, worm castings, if you do worm composting, brown materials, fall leaves, corn stalks, things like that. We'd mix those together and have an 8 to 10 inch layer, a pile. Then we'd sprinkle some finished compost or soil over top because that has the microorganisms that are going to break down. Now, for me, often that's my hanging baskets that are annuals. I just dump them. I use an organic potting mix. Throw that in, there's my layer of compost. Some fertilizer, of course, I'd recommend Milwaukee's finest, Milorganite, and then another 8 to 10 inches of green and browns, and then continue this till your pile's 3 feet high at least and 3 feet wide. Let it heat up, and there are compost thermometers that you can stick down that will measure the temperature, and it'll usually spike out at 160, 165 degrees. As those temperatures cool, you move the materials in the center to the outside because that was the hottest, most decomposed, the stuff that was in the outside to the center. And then you let it heat up again, and it'll heat up. And then as it cools off, you turn. You want to keep it about the moisture of a consistency of a sponge, a damp sponge that's been wrung out. Now, if you do this, you're going to really cook those materials and get rid of a lot of the problems. And so that's a way to really manage a lot of those insect disease and weed seeds. But a lot of us are busy. A lot of us don't have compost thermometers. I always joke, I'm like, you can skip the workout at the gym. If you turn a compost pile, your obliques will get a workout, let me tell you. But a lot of us don't have time to keep up with it. One of the things I like to do is either use a dual bin composter, perfect for urban gardeners who are worried about rodents. You know, you're in the city, they're made out of heavy duty plastic. And the dual bins allow you to put all those raw materials and stockpile them, while in the other bin, you're actively composting. You've put some material, some compost, some fertilizer, you've moistened it, you've turned it regularly. So you have a place where you've add new stuff constantly, but you're actively composting in the other pile. Just a hardware cloth bin that you can make, pallets, anything that holds that material in place. That's what a bin is all about, just making it easier. A double bin is cool because you can stockpile or turn an active pile from one bin to the other. And I used to say my dream was a three-bin composter. I have big dreams, can you tell? And so one could be a stockpile, one would be active, and then I'd turn it into the third pile back and forth. So I could always add new material without impacting the speed of the composting, the active compost pile.
So when we're talking about actually the heat, when these materials are decomposing, are they giving off a gas? Is that what creates the heat?
And it's the activity of the microorganisms that are working on it. So it's that activity of the decomposition. If you ever see wood chips in a pile on a cold day or even a compost pile, you'll see even steam coming out. So it's the process that the microorganisms are breaking that down.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's you're going to find things you can't see. You won't find those. But there are things you can't see that are very tiny. You'll see ground beetles and millipedes and centipedes and maybe even a few slugs and things like that that are helping to break those materials down, worms as well. Now, we're concerned about jumping worms. And there's been research out of University of Wisconsin that temperatures of 104 or higher will kill those jumping worms. So if you're concerned as you're making your own compost, heating it up is really helpful for that pest.
So something, if you look up composting and DIY composting online, they'll tell you how to make a bin to compost. If you're someone who decides, like, I'm going to do this all myself, I'm going to make my own bin, what do you need to know? Because this is something, as we just talked about, it's going to heat up.
Exactly. And usually the temperature is just in the center, so you don't really have to worry. My first bin I had in the city was old pallets, and I look for heat-treated pallets, if you know, because of the food issues and things. And I just used wire to hinge them together. I used one on the bottom and covered it with hardware cloth for drainage and air circulation. Because if you've got heavy clay soil, like so many people do, if you put your compost pile in a poorly drained area, it's going to get wet and soggy. And if you've ever smelled a pile of grass clippings that got wet or were in a black plastic bag, I can tell you have. It stinks and it slows down the process. It eventually decomposes, but it's smelly and it doesn't work. You need to turn it more often. You need to add dry material.
Well, and if you have compost that starts to develop something like mold. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you need to get rid of, that you need to watch out for?
It's just a good clue that something's off balance. It probably means you have too much water in there. Or maybe if you're using a lot of wood products, break down slowly. So if you have twigs and branches, a good place for those is at the bottom of your compost pile. So they act for, you know, they provide that air and drainage that my pallet did. They're going to be there for a long time, but at least you're going to turn the pile over top. Adding dry material is a good way to kind of combat that. And then just, you know, if we're having a rainy period like we did this summer, you might even consider throwing a cover on it or just a piece of plastic if it looks like it's going to rain forever and things are staying wet. Tarping it temporarily is a good way, too, to help, you know, keep that moisture level at the right place.
So how do you know when your compost is good to go?
You know, great question. I get that all the time. If it looks like soil, basically, and crumbly and brown, it's finished. If you use partially decomposed compost in your garden, it will continue composting. The microorganisms that work on the decomposition can temporarily tie up the nitrogen in the soil. So partially decomposed compost, good addition in the fall garden because it'll break down over winter. Otherwise, if you can wait till it's totally decomposed, you'll get the biggest benefit. And things you can do with it, I get that question. Grate in containers, add it to your potting mix. Sprinkle it on the soil surface of your lawn. If you core aerate, it works great. Fresh Coast Guardians gives you some ideas with that. And then one thing that they recommend as well on their website, freshcoastguardians.com, is that they'll, you know, when you're starting a new garden, don't want to use chemicals. Put down newspaper or cardboard and sprinkle the compost. Plant your native plant seeds in there. They'll sprout and eventually root through that newspaper or cardboard. The newspaper and cardboard create an organic barrier between your weeds and grass so that those natives get a faster start. So I thought, well, that's another cool way I've got to try to use my compost.
Yeah. Well, Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your tips.
Thank you. And I hope everyone gets out and gets busy composting. Put it in a heap. It will eventually decompose.
Belinda Myers is the author of several books on gardening, and she's a regular contributor to Lake Effect. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can find more of our conversations with her at WUWM.com.